Welcome to We Mentor Mondays podcast with Nancy. Get inspired. Break through to new dimensions with your peers on the entrepreneurial journey of self-discovery. Learn something new from our stories today. Welcome to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy podcast program. Today in the studio for a second mentoring session, we have Jody Stanke of Talent Performance Group. Hey, Jody.
Hi, Nancy.
How are you?
Terrific.
Good. And is your energy level as high as it was the last time we started our taping session?
I'm smiling and my cheeks are hurting, so yes.
Excellent. So Jody is CEO of Talent Performance Group. In 1999, she founded Legal Liaisons Limited, a successful full-service executive search firm for the legal industry. In order to meet the evolving needs of her legal industry clients, she transformed the business from recruitment into a comprehensive talent management firm, Talent Performance Group. So in our last conversation, we were talking about your upbringing and your parents. Your dad was a teacher. He initially was in the Navy, and then he moved into becoming a principal, and he kind of moved from different smaller towns, from St. Cloud to Otsego.
Yep.
And Andover and
Annandale.
Oh, and your mom was an in-home daycare provider initially, and then she kind of found different positions in the evening for working at the deli, and it was a good way for the whole community to kind of get to know you, especially if you're moving every few years.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you were talking about your leadership and how you developed some leadership skills in your coaching and how you kind of made your transition to the Twin Cities area from Winona. Your dreams of a judge, how did that change and shift for you?
Well, a couple of things were influencing. One is I got married and I married a lawyer, and just right before I started my own business. And so...
How old were you at that point?
So that would have been 25 or so.
Okay.
Right, 25 to 26, right in there. So my husband wasn't so encouraging of me going to law school, mm-hmm. based on really his own experience, I think. And... really was emphasizing the time and money involved with that, with continued education. At the same time, I knew that I liked the work that I was doing in the recruiting firm that I was working in. So I enjoyed and was good at recruiting and making matches. And I was being sought out to do internal training within the company. And was, you know, quickly, I guess, learning about business development and had really good client relationships. Mm. So in thinking about then working as a lawyer and studying case law and going through, by then I understood the number of years that one would not only study, but then kind of, maybe be behind the scenes quite a bit as a learning tool before interfacing with clients and really coming into your own.
Yeah.
And I just was at the same time questioning whether or not that was really the path I wanted to follow. And so that's really how the idea of starting my own firm instead of going to law school kind of came to fruition.
Okay. So what gave you the courage to kind of branch out on your own?
Well, you know, truth be told, I don't know that I would have done that just on my own. Okay. I think it was in the marriage and having that, just the dynamic of that relationship probably is really where the courage came from. And the support and the encouragement to just do it.
Okay. And so did your husband join and you both develop the company then?
So I started the legal liaisons in 1999. Mm-hmm. And then my husband joined me in 2001.
Okay. So you had 3 years where you kind of were getting the feel for it. And then because it was so successful, is that why your husband joined you? Because there was so much work to do, or how did that evolve?
Well, I think it was more the combination of him not wanting to work as a lawyer anymore.
Okay.
And wasn't sure what else he wanted to do. And he thought what I was doing looked fun, probably, you know, honestly.
Yeah.
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 Did you work well together?
So yes and no, I would say. As in any kind of relationship, when you're in a personal relationship and then you're working together, there are different dynamics than if you're working with people that you're not living with, of course. And so there were 10 years difference between me and my husband. And at the time, didn't seem like that big of a deal. Mm-hmm. In hindsight, I think it was a very big deal.
Okay.
Just because of the, I mean, that's a decade. And so the changes that you go through just naturally, every human being, the life changes that happen as you are in your 20s, 30s, 40s
yeah.
are pretty different.
Yeah.
And not always understood. I mean, I think it could be understood if you had good communication, but not always understood what's going on with the other person.
Yeah.
And then also coming into, at that time, my own self-awareness and understanding what was going on with me, combined with the upbringing of everyone in my life and around me, you know, the woman supported the husband and didn't work much of the time.
Yeah.
Or it was a supporting work role.
Right.
So
full time.
Yeah. So that mm-hmm. dynamic of leading an office, but then working with your husband with the combined with not quite understanding the other dynamic at play just inside myself, which was deferring to your husband.
Yeah.
Not having awareness that that kind of was happening.
Yeah, I could see how
was,
that could happen.
Was tricky. Yeah. Was tricky. Yeah. And, you know, I don't think served the business ultimately. But I didn't know that at the time.
Sure.
I didn't know any of that was going on. I kind of knew what was going on, but I couldn't put words around what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How many years were you in business together?
So from 2001 through 2009.
Okay, so 8 years
significant.
Together.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you must have really developed a way to work together over those years.
Yeah. My husband really was the office support or operations kind of person. Okay. So handled the computers, the phone system, the facilities.
So you divvied up the roles and
like
responsibilities.
That kind of thing.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because
yeah.
you bought the building.
2008. So otherwise we rented space. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you didn't rent this space?
No.
Okay. Because we're taping in St. Louis Park.
Yes.
Yes. In Jody's office space.
Right.
In the building that she owns.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So in 2008, you bought this building.
Yes.
And then you named it the Talon Business Center.
Yes.
I see.
Yeah.
And okay, so continue on with you divvied up roles and responsibilities within the company. And I imagine, so you've got your performance recruiting, you've got your recruiting business.
Yes.
So when did you transition to Talon Performance Group?
So that transition happened in 2008 too.
Okay.
So the formation of that started happening in the early 2000s.
Yeah.
Because at that time, I just thought the nature of recruiting would be changing. And I also saw as a business, recruiting is all about if there's a need, they need you. If there's not a hiring need, there's really no reason to talk to me, you know, outside of Because people are busy, so they're not just going to spend time chit-chatting with you for no reason.
Yeah.
So it was a very transactional-based business. Mm-hmm. And when you think about cash flow in a transactional-based business, it's tough.
And it's
tough
very unpredictable.
Unpredictable, right. And at that time, I was thinking about the business as really giving me, just for my personal life, some stability.
Yeah.
Financially and otherwise, so I can have a family and raise kids.
Yes.
Is really what I was thinking. So I wanted to try to even out that ebb and flow of the revenue stream.
Yeah, so it wouldn't be so volatile and it'd be a little more predictable and you could manage your time differently.
Exactly.
Yep. Okay.
Exactly.
Got it.
Exactly. And so I began, and so combined with the nature of just the idea of recruiting had been changing, and I had already started recruiting in a different way, and in what at the time was just more of a consulting fashion. Now it's more common, but then when I learned to recruit, people were just faxing over resumes and not really doing much more than that. And so I already in our recruiting process was doing more than that, to try to look at the culture fit piece versus just the technical skill and understand really what the needs were. So what I thought I needed to do was just get more credibility and background to wear this consulting hat.
Yeah.
So I started getting trained in personality assessments, emotional intelligence programming, so I could offer or be a value add in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I did two things. One is roll out a coaching program for individuals, teams, and could be organization-wide. That was, the foundation was communication effectiveness. And then enhancing or elevating, accelerating individual skills.
Sure.
That really involved practical training. So practically, how do you manage people effectively? How do you lead? How do you develop a, how do you set goals and keep and hold people accountable or set expectations? So really practical, useful tools and training.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the, and so this was all still in legal, in the legal profession.
Now, would the individuals pay for this, or would companies hire you to do the coaching of their staff?
At that time, companies.
Okay.
At that time, companies.
Mm-hmm.
And then we moved, so then I moved the office over to the Talon Business, what's now the Talon Business Center, because we wanted to do that coaching programming in our space.
Yes.
And where the space we were renting prior, which was in Uptown, we didn't have rooms big enough to do any kind of teamwork or group work. We just had offices and one little conference room. So we moved over here so we could support our coaching business, really. And then we name changed at that time. Another reason is, which was a big lesson, but so we were legal liaisons, and then we wanted to expand into coaching and development work. And so we, as legal liaisons, we were known as recruiters.
Oh, right.
And we were, you know, known as legal.
Yeah.
Hence our name. And so the vision, the long-term strategic plan for the company was to get outside of legal, continue to work in legal, but to expand into some other industry areas, and then to do recruiting, but also to develop this coaching business and do, and then have a consulting kind of platform as well. So we name changed at the same time. What we didn't predict, I don't know that anybody could, is the market crash then that happened.
Yeah, in 2008.
So the recruiting, just business-wise, the recruiting revenue was going to support our rollout of the name change and our new service lines.
Oh, I see.
And then we lost the recruiting revenue overnight.
Oh, really?
With the market crash.
Wow.
Everything stopped.
Mm.
And so then you're scrambling.
Yeah.
And in the good thing was, what I ended up doing is moving outside of legal faster than I was expecting because I had to. Nothing was going on in legal.
Yeah.
And I really developed a consulting program for, in larger organizations, leaders of business units or teams, mm-hmm. and in small business owners.
Yes.
To really look at their systems, process, and people, which now I call the TAP program, the Transformational Alignment Program.
Okay.
But at that time, it wasn't really TAP. It was more experimenting.
Yes.
And seeing what worked and hearing the where the common issues were. And I had enough tools in my toolbox that I could put some things together that I thought would work for people. And so I just had an opportunity to try it during that time, mostly because of the market crash.
Sure. And so you didn't spend as much time planning the rollout. You just jumped into it.
Right. In hindsight, I would have probably hired people, communication people, to help us with the message change. Because when legal liaisons disappeared, so did I. None of our clients, our market, nobody knew what happened to us. All of a sudden, we were gone. And because of the market crash and all the businesses that went out of business, that's what people thought we did too.
Oh, I see.
So we were just recreating everything from scratch.
Okay. So it felt like you were starting over.
Starting over. Yeah.
Okay.
Starting over, but not realizing we were starting over. So you didn't do the things you would do if you were starting over.
Yeah. You know what I mean? That's right. This is the hindsight piece when you think about it. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. It was really a big lesson.
Well, when you're so close to it and immersed in it and you're responding quickly, I mean, you needed to move fast and you just went out and got the work.
Yeah, I mean, and when things are going so well, you just don't think that people are going to think you disappear overnight.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
Instead, the idea, and I was working with a marketing person, so it's not like I did everything myself. But at the time, we were thinking, we want to be so elite and exclusive and like this best kept shop, secret shop, like a dress shop that you can only get into if you know the secret knock.
Yeah.
You know, now I think, how stupid. Why didn't the marketing people say that is not a good idea?
Exactly. That would have been so helpful.
Anyway, it took us a while to figure out, oh, this is not working. Yeah.
It sounds like it was a really pivotal year from 2008 to 2009, because then your husband and you finished working together during that time?
Yeah, we ended working together in 2009 and started just our separation.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And that must have been a very hard, difficult challenging time to separate out your business from your relationship.
Yeah, no question. It was horrible. There's just no other
way to frame it.
That's right. Yeah, because not only was it your personal relationship, the business was crashing at full speed, and the dreams, you know, like a huge thing was just the dream of the vision of both the business and your life.
Yeah, right. You were going to start a family and all the other pieces that come along with that. And so we're taking a big breath here, a couple sips of water. This is the ugly
It is
aspect.
Water, not vodka.
After we're done. Okay. And so during the separation, you were able to continue your business.
Somehow I was.
Well, you must have amazing ability and stamina to like keep putting your foot in front of the other.
Well, Yeah, I mean, at that time I had like a full office full of staff.
Okay.
And I do remember going into our office meeting with a glass of water and setting it on the table and saying, you see how full this water cup is? The water was almost to the brim, and saying, this is how much capacity I have to work in the office right now. So you guys are going to have to like pull it together and figure it out.
Okay.
So yeah, for a little while, that's just what had to happen, mm-hmm, because I just had no capacity.
Yeah, because all of your energy was going into heartbreak and dealing with this, you know, the market fell out from underneath you. You totally changed industries and work that you were doing.
Yes.
Did you keep some of the legal recruiting business? Because you're still doing that.
Oh, yeah. When it started coming back, we started getting calls again.
Did that take a couple years or?
Oh, yeah. It took probably 4 years for that to kind of come back.
Okay. Wow.
But
4 years.
We didn't lose the recruiting business because of anything we were doing. It was just because all the hiring stopped.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, to your point, I really am a believer in action. Whether or not you know where you're going or whether or not you know what to do, I think you just can't go wrong by taking some kind of action all the time.
Yeah. Keep moving forward.
Keep moving forward.
No matter what.
No matter what. Do something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so when did you feel like you were starting to get your feet back under you, underneath you? You were able to breathe. You felt like your separation eventually led to a divorce then?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then when did you feel like I'm okay now, I'm rebuilding, this is working what I'm doing, I'm kind of creating my own new life here?
Yeah.
And starting again.
I'm going to say, you know, if I were to be honest, which I am, I would say probably 2014, honestly. So not that long ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you took your staff that was a full staff.
Yeah.
And when you gave them more responsibility to do more work while you were trying to heal your heart and just keep one foot in front of the other and keep things afloat, how did the staff show up for you?
I think they did the best they could.
Yes.
And so things did not keep rolling along. I'll say that.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I think they did the best they could. And it shows when there's not a leader in any kind of organization, in any kind of team, you can tell if there's not a leader. People start making up their own rules, giving themselves their own responsibility or lack thereof.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people just start doing their own thing. And it's a human nature characteristic. I don't think it's anybody's fault. It's just the nature of what happens with people.
Right.
Anyway, it didn't work for very long without any kind of leader. So in 2000, so slowly, I just, with most of the staff, there were other things that they had going on. Like one person got married and moved out of state. One person got married and then decided she was going to get out of recruiting on the outside and go into HR with a company. And so I didn't replace.
Okay.
And then I think it was like 2012 maybe, or maybe even the very beginning of 13, where the last staff member left. That was good. I mean, that was good. Because I still didn't have capacity for anybody but myself.
Yeah.
And, you know, as a business, your expenses go down dramatically when you're the only one. So that was fortunate.
Yeah,
you don't need enough.
Pressure.
You don't need as much to keep the ship moving.
Yeah.
So it ended up, I think just the longevity and the credibility that I've had in the market for the number of years, mm-hmm, is what saved me during that time.
Okay.
Because I didn't have to go out and do a lot.
Yeah.
I just luckily had things coming to me enough and at the right times to just keep everything afloat.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, I guess, all I can say about it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And it seemed like that worked.
It worked. Yeah, it worked. It worked because it allowed me to just get myself grounded and recentered and to kind of get my feet under me again. And then the market started coming back and, you know, and it is now too. And I'm just really looking at, okay, well, now what? Now yeah. what?
What's the next step?
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, this is a good place to finish out this session. Again, it's gone really fast. I really appreciate your authenticity and sharing too the trials and tribulations that we all experience in different ways, trying to be in tune with what's going on in the economy, trying to stay connected in our personal relationships, or when they're not, making some strong decisions about how to separate things out and move forward with both your dignity intact, continue to keep kind of starting over, you know, in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like you're going back to the beginning, but you're starting from where you left off and kind of building out a new, carving out a new different vision, because the prior one that you had built your life together is no longer there.
Well, and what can I say one more thing?
Yeah.
And you don't have to
absolutely.
Use it.
Absolutely.
But one interesting thing about that period of time
yeah.
is not only did I like lose my life partner relationship,
yeah.
the business relationship, but all the colleagues and peers that I had in the business.
Yeah.
When I went down, yeah. I guess is what I would say, you know, sometimes you get to really see who your friends are. I think, even though I've heard that before, I was aware of that concept, I didn't really realize what it meant.
Yeah.
But I left the scene
mm-hmm.
and all my peers continued, well, probably not all of them, but the ones that I'm aware of continued to climb and rise and grow.
Yes.
And then when I, you know, needed maybe some strength or people to lean on.
Yeah.
They weren't interested in me anymore.
Oh.
I wasn't in the scene anymore. I wasn't in the paper. I wasn't getting the awards, you know, like, and so I no longer mattered, you know, which was like a,
oh, wow.
So one more thing.
You know? Yeah. That takes my breath away where I hit.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
Really interesting.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Really interesting.
Yeah. Okay.
But I suppose it's like anything, you know, sometimes you need a hard fall or for your wake-up call, and mm-hmm. that can come in different ways for different people. I've been super fortunate that my hard fall was this. It could have been like so many other more horrible things that happen to people. So
yeah.
With perspective, it's not that bad. But for me, it was traumatic.
Absolutely.
And so it did have me recognize, what do I want in my life? Well, I want better relationships mm-hmm. with my clients, with staff, with peers and colleagues. You know, now it mattered to me more. It wasn't about looking good, you know.
Okay. Yeah. You want deeper connections and deeper relationships that are more satisfying and fulfilling.
Right.
And can take you through those turbulent, heartbreaking times. They'll be there.
Maybe that, or just that they're more real.
Okay.
You know, and yeah. that people actually do care.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, that's wonderful learned, hard learned lessons.
Hard learned lessons. Yeah.
Yeah. Life is full of them.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thanks, Nancy.
I was wondering if we could do one more session where we can offer tips.
Oh, okay.
Great. All right. Well, thanks to you so much for being here, for laying your heart on the line. I think it's good for you. I think it's great for anyone listening. They can relate to the experiences. And we just don't get out of this life without some heartbreak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really true.
And so it's good that you have such resiliency. It's really incredible to keep your foot, one foot in front of the other. And I think there's a lot of other tips that some business owners would really appreciate learning. Great. And Mike Cabea, sound engineer, photographer, brother from another mother, great friend. See you next week. Thanks for tuning in. Do you want to promote your business and grow in your leadership skills? Here are a few ways you can promote your business and get leadership help through We Mentor, Inc. You can be a podcast guest. Challenge yourself to share who you are on air. We'll help you out. Secondly, you can sponsor our podcast program. You can invest a small fee to have you and your company name announced at the beginning and end of one or more shows. The third way that you can promote your business and grow in your leadership skills is you can set up an individual strategy session to do work one-on-one with me, focusing on specific life and leadership issues and skills you want to acquire. Or the fourth way is you can join an entrepreneurial leadership and mentoring lab. These ELM labs start throughout the year. They are small groups of 5 to 9 business owners who are out to profoundly shift their lives and lead with authenticity. In 2016, I became a registered yoga instructor and mindfulness meditation teacher. I also became certified online with Brené Brown's Brave Leadership and Courage Works courses to learn an effective process of being all in, falling, getting up, and trying again. In turn, I can mentor others in how to dare greatly and rise strong. I feel better equipped to help you forge ahead in these times of great uncertainty. Our Entrepreneurial Leadership and Mentoring Lab process is an integrated approach to leadership development. We do yoga, meditation, and leadership revolution skill setting. Yes, we will help you learn how to strengthen your body, strengthen your mind, and increase your emotional stamina as part of our leadership development process, along with learning about real-world business planning and strategic planning. We do what works. Get involved, get started. You can reach me at 612-804-8920 or go to wementor.com and connect with us. Lastly, if you like our podcast program, help us keep it going. You can donate to our program. Just go to the wementor.com website, click on Buy button, and fill in the donation amount that you would like to contribute. We appreciate any and all contributions. See you next week.